RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is MP on the mic on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
MP on the mic. Welcome aboard, Richmond. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Lots to get to in the world of sports today. But we've got a local team making national news this week, and this is pretty exciting. The Tri-City Chili Peppers will be playing Under the Lights Saturday night, but the Black Lights, they're going to play Cosmic Baseball. And so to talk about this, we welcome on the owner of the Tri-Cities Chili Peppers, Chris Martin. Chris, good morning. What's up?
Oh, just hanging out. How are you?
You MLB.com, national media, everybody's jumped in on this. Take us through, what is Cosmic Baseball?
So Cosmic Baseball is pretty simple. Well, it sounds simple anyway. It's playing baseball under black lights. So the normal game will start at 7 o'clock, and then it'll transition into black light throughout the game as it gets darker outside.
So is this the first time this – I assume you've done testing, but is this the first time that anybody's done this?
Yeah, we actually created the light with Federal Lighting and Sunray, and so it was the first stadium black light in the world. So, yes, we'll be the first ones to ever play a sporting event outside of this magnitude in black lights.
I love it. Tri-City Chili Peppers, Cosmic Baseball this weekend. How will it be for the – is the ball painted? How do we make sure that the batters see the ball?
Yeah, the ball was made, and it has a reactive powder that has been placed on top of it and sealed. And so it was designed specifically for Cosmic Baseball. So the ball is going to almost seem like it is glowing in the air as guys hit it or pitch it or throw it across the field. So it's very reactive. It's easy to see outside in the black lights. And yeah, it's pretty simple. I mean, we've trained with it. We've thrown live versus batters with it, and guys go up there and they hit it, and they seem to be having a really good time.
I love it. And the reaction's obviously been incredible. People are really excited to see this. Was this what kind of boost did this give you guys? Not just in your community, but even in the baseball community.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've seen a pretty big boost with us with national sales on jerseys, and those have gone really fast throughout the country, and but in the community, just being involved in this, right? You see a lot of people running around. They're proud to be a part of the Chili Peppers and be local, and so it's really brought a great recognition to our community, the Tri-Cities, and obviously ourselves, the Tri-City Chili Peppers.
Now, I know Shepherd's Stadium will be rocking this weekend. My understanding, we're sold out. Is that right for Saturday? But you're going to run this back later this summer?
Yeah, we sold out for Saturday in 24 hours, so that was kind of mind-blowing. We were, you know, basically in problem-solving mode going, it's a good problem to have. And so we sold out in 24 hours, and then second game on June 15th, Father's Day, is sold out as well. And then the third one on June 28th is getting really close to being sold out here, probably in the next few weeks. And then we've got one more in July.
I love it. Tell folks how they can buy tickets if they want to come out June 28th, watch some Cosmic Baseball.
Yeah, if you go on to TriCityChiliPeppersBaseball.com, just go on there. You go onto the ticket page, and you can search the game, and you can buy tickets to any Cosmic game as well as other games that we have throughout the season.
I love it. Whole season ahead of you. Chris Martin joining us from the Tri-City Chili Peppers. Tell us a little bit about the league and the style of baseball and who folks will get to see if they come out to watch.
Yeah, we're in the Coastal Plain League, so we've got players from all over the country that play in during the summer seasons of their college career. So they're currently college players playing at, let's say, Virginia Tech or Coastal Carolina, some mid-majors as well, and some All-American Division II and Division III players may be invited to come out and play. And so these are really, really high-level players come out throughout the summer and compete in the Coastal Plain League. So other teams in our league, Savannah Bananas used to be in our league. Right now you've got Peninsula Pilots, Moorhead City Marlins, Holly Springs, a new team called the Greenville Gnomes, which is really cool, and they've got a great program. And so we've got teams from all over the country on the East Coast that we play and throughout the entire week. So that's kind of what fans will see. Our environment's kind of wild and entertaining. So it's not just great baseball, but it's great entertainment, great food, great beer.
I love it. You guys are known for keeping them. I know Cosmic Baseball here is getting a lot of attention, but that's not the only thing you guys do to keep things fun.
Absolutely, yeah. We do a lot of stuff with our fans. That's honestly what we're probably most known for outside of just great baseball, is just the way that we entertain our fans. Everything that we do throughout the entire game, we've got it scripted out. Every 30 seconds of the game, there's something moving. Even in between every single pitch that's thrown on the field, there's some sort of activity going on. So you don't have to be a traditional baseball fan to come out and have a great time. We really attract the fans that just want to come out and, you know, be entertained and have good food and good beer.
I love it. Tri-City Chili Peppers, Chris Martin down there, keeping things fun. Cosmic Baseball in the news this week. I think everybody's really excited to see how it'll go. How have the players reacted to the concept? And kind of, I'm sure you've tested it out with them. How are they feeling about this?
They're excited, right? I think at first, when you first walk out there and there's this transition from white light to black light, it's immediately like, oh wow, we're almost like in a different world. It's completely different. I mean, you're surrounded by black light, so it takes them a couple seconds when they're throwing the ball around, and then they get really comfortable and they're excited. They've come up to me. One of the players I asked last practice, it was his first time seeing and practicing under black light, and I just said, hey man, what'd you think? What's your response? He said, that was the most fun I've ever had playing baseball in my entire life. And this is a really good college baseball player that's played for a long time. And so hearing that from a player meant a lot, meant the world to me. But then, you know, so I'm excited to kind of see what fans say. You know, is this going to be one of their favorite environments to watch a sporting event? So it'll be interesting. It's all trial and error, but the players are absolutely loving it.
I love to hear it. Do we have a sense of how it'll impact the game? Is this good for the pitchers or the hitters? Do we know yet?
Yeah, I mean, the pitchers seem to be having a lot of fun with it. I mean, there will be safety precautions and everything that we throw out there for the first game, but they seem to be really enjoying it. They can see the ball really well. Hitters are the same sense, right? Like, they can see the ball pretty well. I think the spin of the ball has been the only challenging piece that we've seen at this point, which is something that, as we evolve into Cosmic Baseball, things will obviously continue to get better and better, and maybe we're able to make the laces react a little different, so that way the hitters can see the ball spin a little bit better. But outside of that, I mean, the players have had a lot of success with it, hitting, taking ground balls. I mean, they're out there turning double plays and drop-stepping on line drives. I mean, it's really, really fun to watch.
I love it. Always dreaming, always improving. That's the way to do it in baseball, and that's how the Tri-City Chili Peppers do it. Thank you for joining us this morning. You want to tell folks how they can follow along with the Chili Peppers and what you guys are up to this summer.
Yeah, absolutely. They can go on Instagram, social media platforms, and follow us, and go to TriCityChiliPeppersBaseball.com.
Awesome. Chris Martin, owner of the Tri-City Chili Peppers, thanks for making some time for us this morning.
Not a problem. Thank you.
Awesome. There he goes. We're back with more with you until noon. AWOD Radio takes over. Noon to 3, Grant and Danny drive you home. You know where you are. It's 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Tower number two. What's up, Richmond? Michael Phillips, MP, on the mic. Thanks for calling. Tickets are gone. We'll give away two pairs. Not pairs. They're a four-pack. Two four-packs. We'll call on the math. As Gary says, I was told there would be no math. That's eight tickets. We're going to give away eight tickets tomorrow to the Down on the Farm Wing Fest at Hanover Vegetable Farm. Lots more to get to in this hour, including the Kyrie Irving situation. NBA and NHL action rolls on. And things are heating up in the world of baseball, where the Nats took down the Braves last night. The Braves in an unenviable spot because they are playing good baseball, doing everything they need to do, and yet still not even close to catching the Philadelphia Phillies, who are running away with this thing. But kudos to the Nats. They're fighting, they're clawing, they're hanging in there. I don't think a lot of people saw them as a 70-75 win team this year, but they could absolutely land on that spot when it's all said and done. You'll hear Squirrels baseball here tonight. The Squirrels take on the Erie Seawolves tonight, 6:35 first pitch. You'll hear that right here on The Fan, and of course into the weekend. If you missed anything in today's show, grab the app. It's on the Odyssey app. It's got the rewind button. It's on the Apple Store. It's on Google Play. That's also where you'll catch Flying Squirrels baseball every night, and then the Sunday matinee as they wrap up a big series against Erie, trying to float back to above 500. It's a Thursday. You know we love to talk to our guy Lane Casadante on Thursdays. He joins us now, CBS 6 sports director, best sports game in town. Lane, what's up?
Hey, good morning, MP. How's everybody doing?
Everybody's feeling good over here. Short week. We're gonna find our way through it. Don't worry about us. I know lots of stuff always drops like right before the holiday weekend in our world, and you chatted with Ed McLaughlin about how this NCAA settlement's going to impact VCU. And I want to circle back on that, if you don't mind, because I do think that was an important conversation and remains an important topic on the board, especially because VCU's not a football school, and a lot of this conversation centers around football. What were your takeaways from talking with Ed about how VCU's preparing for this new world?
Excuse me. My first takeaway is that I don't think I would ever be able to do the job of a collegiate athletic director with everything that they have to consider, worry about, and organize. It's mind-boggling. And Ed, to Ed's credit, he spoke with us without having an awful lot of information, without having hardly any answers, just knowing that at least there's something of a path forward in this new wilderness that is the NIL and transfer portal in college athletics. But a couple of things that he said that we knew to be true, the ideal and the model of amateurism that college sports once claimed is gone forever and will not be back. I think he said that they like to take things in terms of five-year segments, and this is, he's speaking again in terms of how VCU handles things. Other schools might be different, but they like to look in five-year increments, like where do we want to be in 5 years? How are we going to do this? What are we going to do over the next 5 years? They can't even do that anymore. I'm not even sure they can plan 18 months in advance right now because of all the changes and all the uncertainty and, quite honestly, all the lawsuits that are bound to come over something out of this, because somebody's going to be unhappy with everything that's happening. Schools like VCU, they are still going to be committed to putting out the best product for their fans that they can and competing on a national level. But I don't think he's not kidding himself, and he won't kid anybody else, that these new dynamics will make it a little bit tougher in many ways for schools like VCU and Richmond to do that.
No question. And certainly, you mentioned the unenviability of his job, having to find continued ways to squeeze money out of the turnip, so to speak, at every turn, because there are new financial demands every few minutes, it seems. All of a sudden you get a Max Schulga that falls back into your lap. Like, we're here on the radio. That's a victory lap for VCU. Max Schulga comes back all of a sudden. You've got an immediate all A-10 player landing on your roster. From Ed's perspective, that's another budget item. That's a line item right there.
It is. But one that, you'll happily add and take care of. But yeah, and there's a million, there's more than, you know, whatever we hear, whatever the public hears and what in the media is one, whatever the public hears is one thing, whatever the media hears is something different. And then what is the actual truth is probably something completely different than that as well. So there are a lot of factors that go into why any one athlete would choose to do whatever it is that they do. In the same case with Shulgin and everybody else that enters the portal or, you know, test the waters in the NBA or any of that stuff. You know, I'd like to think that things like this with Max Shulga may be coming more common moving forward, just because, you know, I think the portal is like the new toy at Christmas, right? You play with it, you play the hell out of it for the first 2 days, and then you find something else to do and you go back to it occasionally. I can't see where there's going to be 1,500, 2,000 kids in the portal every single year. Maybe there will be, but I think that with this new model that the NCAA and the Power Five conferences are trying to put out, I think it's going to bring a level of stability that we don't have right now, and that can't help but filter down to the lower divisions.
You know, and we'll see how it all shakes out. It sure feels like we're several years away, right? You mentioned years and planning. It feels like we'll be on a minute-to-minute basis for the next few years while it all shakes out. But it'll be fascinating to watch. And Lane's interview with Ed is at CBS 6. You can pull that up, watch that from early last week. But there's plenty of sports moving on going forward locally as well. College sports, you know, as we get ready for the summer football camps, football practices, got the first line out of the season. Virginia Tech taking on Vanderbilt out there in Nashville. I think that'll be a fun outing for a lot of the Hokies fans to go to Nashville on the holiday weekend. Hokies 13-point favorites right now against Vanderbilt, Lane. I think a lot of people are going to have big expectations on this team.
And I think they should, right, with everything that they have coming back. And the recruiting that Brent Pry and his staff, including Fontel Mines, have done, especially in Central and Eastern Virginia, which is where Frank Beamer made so much of his hay back in the day. I would, if I had to pick a program around here that I would expect to make a significant, and, you know, they had a good season last year, bowl game, but I think this year, and again, if they stay healthy, and it's going to center quite a bit on Kyron Drones and the quarterback play and how much he progresses as well. But yeah, I would think Hokie fans would expect to see a noticeable leap forward this year. Will they challenge for the the Coastal Division title? Yeah, I don't know why they wouldn't. So there's a stability down there now that you haven't really had since even before Frank left. There was a level of instability there. So I think you're starting to see that now, and it doesn't happen overnight. But I would agree with, you know, any Tech fan that expects to see a little bit more out of them this year.
Oh, no question. You make predictions. I can't make predictions. We're playing a conference game against Stanford, Lane. I don't even know.
Right. But wait till those trips to Provo and Utah come in a couple of years too.
I love it. You can just write whatever you want online if you have a blue check mark, like it's a story for 4.5 days now. What a totally normal sports world we live in. Lane Casadane joined us. You mentioned the Tech, the Beamer era. We got Daryl Tapp up in Ashburn now. He was out there barking during practice. I'm sure you covered some Daryl Tapp. He's one of my all-time favorites. I love having him back in Ashburn with the Commanders.
Yeah, he's just and he's the example, right? It's like, why can't you do this? I did it, you know, and he can point to a successful high school, college, and, you know, in a career that made it to the pros. And he is a high energy guy. You'll notice if you ever watch practices, which fans, I don't know why they would go to watch practice, but a lot of them do. But Daryl is kind of a get down in the dirt and, you know, I'm going to get down in a stance and show you exactly what I want to see type of coach. A little bit younger, can still relate to the active players because he's not that far removed from when he put pads on himself. And I think anybody that knows him or does, a 5-second Google search on what he accomplished is going to come away thinking, I should probably listen to this guy.
He brings no shortage of energy. He's got the chops, and he's got endless energy, which is fun. As another great Virginian in sports once said, we're talking about practice. Talking about practice with Lane Casadante. The Commanders will be doing joint practices with the Jets up in New York, they announced. We'll get to see a couple of our guys. Tyrod Taylor's the backup there for Aaron Rodgers, which is, of course, its own adventure. But Morgan Moses landed back there again. I think that's one of the great local NFL success stories. He's still in the league.
And the fact that, you know, he had to kind of reinvent himself a couple of times, first at UVA and then again with the Commanders. And Morgan, if anybody ever spends 5 minutes with him, you know, he's one of the nicest guys that you would ever want to come across, run into, or just talk to. And you can't help but root for him. He still does a bunch of work down in Chesterfield and around the Meadowbrook community. He's still very connected with his hometown. I would love to see – I understand that, you know, teams have to go through and do their installs and have their practices. I know there's a proposal from the Players Association on the table to kind of rework how they do summers. But I am a huge fan of joint practices. I just think – and we've heard from coaches, right? All the Commanders coaches that have done it say they get so much more out of it. I think the players are more engaged. I think it brings the fans – interest level up. I would love to see more of that. And I understand the logistics and the money and all that other stuff are not easily handled between teams every single year, but it would just be great if more teams could find a way to prioritize that in the preseason, especially given that the preseason has shrunk by a game. Those games mean nothing. The practices, I would think there is so much more information and evaluation you get out of a joint practice than you ever would out of an exhibition game.
I couldn't agree more. You can set up the situations. You can know exactly what you'll get, and it's in a controlled environment. The coaches love it, for sure. All right, wrapping up with Lane Casadante. You know to watch him on CBS 6. If you're watching local TV and you love sports, that's the only place to be, of course. What do you guys have cooking this weekend, Lane?
I tell you what, and I don't know if you guys have talked with them about it. I think you have. Did you not just have Chris from the Tri-Cities Peppers team on, right?
Cosmic Baseball, Lane. We're playing under the black lights. Take that, RIR.
It's so interesting. Yeah, exactly. It's so interesting. We went down and talked with a couple of the players on the team yesterday, and we're going to share that story tonight. They're so excited about it and yet apprehensive at the same time. They're just appreciative for the fact that they get a chance to do something that nobody else has really ever done before. And at the same time, you know, one of the players said that, you know, I said, how tough, it's tough enough to hit a ball in bright sunshine. And he's like, well, I just hope it's bigger. that's the one thing that he's hoping for, that you might be able to see a little bit bigger. And, you know, this is something that, obviously, the Flying Squirrels, if they could do it, they would have tried this probably earlier, but the Giants and affiliated teams are never going to let you do something like this. So that's why it's cool to have a team like the Chili Peppers that can experiment like this. As soon as I heard it, I'm like, they stole a page from the Savannah Bananas. How have they not done this? And, you know, they're obviously, you know, you have to make an infrastructure investment in the lights and the equipment and all this other stuff, and the players have to buy in, and I know the community down there will buy into whatever that team does. The players have bought in. It's going to be a neat thing, and they're going to do 4 of them this summer, as I'm sure Chris told you. So if you don't get a chance to see it this weekend, you've got 3 more chances to go check it out. It should be really cool to watch.
Sold out already for Saturday, but yes, as Lane mentioned, tickets available for future ones. I'm excited, and we're the radio. We can only do so much here, but I'll be excited to see the visuals on CBS 6 tonight, because I know those looked really cool when Chris shared those.
You can actually see a story. Wayne Coble did, went through a practice with them a couple of weeks ago, and you kind of got a little bit of an idea of what it looks like. So if you go to WTBR.com and search Chili Peppers on there, Wayne's story should come up, and you can get a little bit of an idea of what it might look like.
I love it. I'm excited. It's so many good things happening in the area in sports, and the rising tide will indeed lift all the boats. Lane, always appreciate the time. Have a great weekend. We'll check in with you soon.
Thanks for having me, Mike. Have a great weekend, everybody.
All right, there he goes. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. We have a little giveaway today. We're going to give away tickets to the Down on the Farm Wing Fest at the Hanover Vegetable Farm. That's coming up in just about 2 weeks from today, Father's Day Saturday. That's June 15th. We'll give away a four-pack of tickets to the Down on the Farm Wing Fest later in today's program. Little news out in the world of the NFL popping this morning. I'm not going to hit the breaking news sounder. We reserve that. We reserve that for important things. This is not that important thing. But this just in, Adam Schefter reporting, the Miami Dolphins have signed Jaylen Waddle to a three-year, $76 million guaranteed contract worth up to $84.75 million. The deal makes Jaylen Waddle one of the league's top five highest-paid receivers. That is on the heels of the Dolphins extending Tyreek Hill earlier this year to a deal that made him one of the top five highest paid receivers in the league. That is in addition to the Dolphins signing Odell Beckham Jr. this offseason to a one-year deal. That he's not in the top highest paid receivers, but you know him, you know the name. So Dolphins now this year have locked and loaded Tua Tagovailoa, obviously back at quarterback, Raheem Mostert and Devon Achane back at running back. You've got your core locked down here. Tyreek Hill locked in for 3 years. Jaylen Waddle now, three-year extension locked in for 3 years. Odell Beckham Jr. in for this year. Waddle now, the three-year deal, he's one of the top five highest paid receivers. Tyreek Hill, of course, making a ton of money. He's in the league's top five highest paid receivers. You've got... My fear is you're going to end up in Jared Goff land here. What happened with the Rams when you get a great young coach in, Sean McVay. Obviously, I think everybody understands at this point Mike McDaniel is in that club. Brilliant young coaching minds. You build a great support staff around them, great skill weapons, and I love their two running backs too, Mostert and Achane. I think they're both very good as well. And then you see a quarterback have a great year, put up great stats, as Tua did for a large part of last year, and you think, that's our guy, we got to roll with that guy. Next thing you know, the quarterback's got a big deal, and instead of lifting you, it drags you back down, which is what happened with Jared Goff. They make the Super Bowl that first year with Sean McVay. We made the Super Bowl. We got to keep it together. Without asking yourself, who's responsible for what success here? The Giants did that, right? First year, new coach, everything goes well. You got to sign Daniel Jones. Can't do this without a quarterback. You didn't have to sign Daniel Jones. You turned out you actually didn't have to sign Jared Goff. You actually didn't have to sign all these guys. We'll go through this with Brock Purdy at some point, too. Brock Purdy will get an absurd contract from the 49ers. You either have a quarterback who lifts your team or you don't. This is a big year for Tua in terms of proving that he can be that. He's got everything he needs around him. He's got the skill players. He's got the coaching. He's got, the right tools to succeed. This will be a big year for him to prove he can do that. My fear is, right, for the Dolphins, I think they're building something where you're almost interchangeable at quarterback. It's a tough place to be. Because you don't want to be without one. Coaches know. Coaches get scared. If I don't have a quarterback, I can't win. But if you don't have the right quarterback, it becomes very hard to win, too. So a little news out of the NFL this morning. Jaylen Waddle, three-year contract extension, becomes one of the top five highest-paid receivers in the NFL. Dolphins taking care of their own. Loading up on offense. That's going to be a very potent offense this year. Let's go to the world of the NHL. This is clip six, Hazel. We'll skip the line here. The NHL can cut the rope, the velvet rope, and skip in because that was great action last night. Edmonton and Dallas, this has been everything you want out of a series. All I said all playoffs was, get me Connor McDavid in prime time when I can watch him without falling asleep on my couch while I do it. We finally got there. We have it. Dallas took a 2-1 lead in the series, but it's been a high-scoring series. Tons of offense, everything you love to see. Edmonton last night, down early, rallies to tie it up, and then a little bit of a shorthanded goal to take the lead.
Blocked in front. and it's Connor Brown, two-on-one, shorthanded. Brown in over the line, left wing, centers, one-timer, score! Matthias Janmark has given Edmonton its first lead of the night, 3-2!
Oilers win 5-2, both series now, knotted up two games apiece coming in for a pair of critical game fives over the next two nights. Should be a fun night in the world of sports the next two nights, because you'll also have Mavs and the T-Wolves tonight. See if they can wrap that up. We'll talk Kyrie Irving later in today's program. In baseball last night, the Phillies remain red hot. Here's Bryce Harper hitting an RBI single as the Phillies cruise to a victory of their own. They're one of the hottest teams in baseball right now.
Harper, first pitch. Swung on, line drive into left field. That's going to be in for a base hit. Stubbs will score. Rounding second and cruising into third is Edmundo Sosa. And it's an RBI single for Bryce Harper. And the Phillies now lead it 6-0.
6-1, your final for the Phillies, who have distance on the Braves, who are actually playing good baseball on their own out there. That's your number one team in baseball right now, the Phillies, red hot. And not unthinkable that a two MVPs this year are going to end up being Juan Soto and Bryce Harper, both former Nats. We got all summer to debate it. I think when you tally it up in the end, Mike Rizzo probably made the right call, letting everybody go, letting Rendon go, letting Harper go as a package. Doesn't sting any less, though, to see them having success elsewhere. But the baseball game I want to talk about happened in New York last night. Shohei Ohtani with this two-run homer for the Dodgers, who were crushing the Mets first off.
Lopez pitch, and Shohei hits one well to left field. This ball's back, and this ball is gone. Shohei Ohtani with a two-run shot. It is 9-3. And the show rolls on here in New York.
All right, he hit that off of Jorge Lopez, Mets reliever. Jorge then lost his mind out on the mound. They come out to pull him from the game. He flings his glove over the netting into the crowd, stomps off. All right, you know, cooler heads will prevail. He's in the locker room. He's giving his statement to the media, and you'll hear they ask, do you regret throwing a little tantrum on the baseball field? Spoiler, he doesn't.
Carlos Mendoza said that he understands the emotion, but that particular action of throwing your glove into the stands was unacceptable. Looking back on it, do you regret doing that?
No, I don't regret it. I think I've been looking the worst team in probably in the whole MLB. So, you know, whatever happened. So whatever they want to do, I'll be tomorrow here if they want me, you know, whatever they want to do. So I'm going to keep doing this thing, you know, so I'm healthy on whatever, you know, on whatever to do, you know, I'm ready to come back tomorrow if they want me to be here, so I'll be here.
Without paging our traffic director coming in, haha, it's just funny when the Mets lose 22-33. They spend so much money and they get so little for it. It's easy to root against a team spending that much money. I have no hatred towards the Mets whatsoever. I just think it's funny the comical amount of money they've spent to have their own player throw a tantrum on the mound and then say, I play for the worst effing team in Major League Baseball. That's good stuff. Can we play the Nats clip real quick before we get to break? Do we have time for that? Because the Nats beat the Braves last night. Kudos to the Nats, taking care of business. Number 9 here, Lane Thomas, going yard on the Atlanta Braves, who are a pretty good baseball team.
Schwellenbach with a pitch. Thomas swings and hits it in the air to deep left field. This is way back, going, and gone, goodbye! Off the back wall of the Nationals bullpen and straightaway left field. Bang!
Bang, zoom, go the fireworks. And Nats in Atlanta taking a win from the Braves. Love to see it. We got to step aside. We're going to talk local baseball when we get back. We got Chris Martin on from the Tri-Cities Chili Peppers. He'll tell us about cosmic baseball. You don't want to miss this. We'll be right back. 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. We don't have a ton of breaking news during this program that we don't make. We make news when we make news, but it's just not a time slot when breaking news happens, right? Games happen later in the day. Stuff happens. Generally, it's not a breaking news time slot, but we were here. We were on the air for the Scottie Scheffler situation And that was a wild one. And so we have our resolution. Got the resolution yesterday. The Louisville Police Department is dropping all charges against Scottie Scheffler. He is no longer required to appear in court in the issue of him driving, allegedly driving and knocking over the police officer, Detective Brian Gillis, who put out his own statement, which was wild. It's like six paragraphs. It's a bit of a roller coaster. It was, I'm glad to put this behind me. I'm just here to serve the public, but also I really was hurt. But also,
I'll recover.
But also, I'll be fine. But also, yes, I really did damage my $80 pants. Mm-hmm. It was a bit of a roller coaster of a statement for sure. But here's Steve Romanus. He's Scottie Scheffler's attorney.
He understands it was a miscommunication. As Mr. O'Connell said, he wasn't aware that the fatality had occurred. He had been directed, as other players were, how to proceed into Valhalla. That's what he was doing.
That's the weirdest pronunciation of Valhalla of all time, by the way. Valhalla. That's what you say like when the golfers torch the course and like go 70 under cumulative or whatever. Like, more like Valhalla, if you get it. Mayo. Yeah. And then won't be coming back there anytime soon. So we're done. I don't think anything more will come of this. I don't think there'll be. We got, once we had the footage that appeared to show an overeager officer,
mm-hmm.
I think we were pretty much done here. I don't think Scottie Scheffler is gonna press it any further either. So we can put that one to bed. Good night to that story. That'll disappoint Stubb. Stubb enjoyed the pants element of that story. He was a big fan of the $80 pants story.
I do feel like you told me a certain donut story related to this.
Oh, yeah. No, officer. We told that on the air. Yeah. You missed a lot of time.
I missed.
Just saying. When you missed,
I know. I was gone.
When you miss time, the show goes on. we covered the donut situation
okay,
on the
good.
Show as Stubb walks in. So he said, Detective Brian Gillis has a statement said, thank you for giving me the most famous pair of pants in America for a few weeks. I hope the pants end up at auction somewhere eventually, right? That's a legit valuable pair of pants. That's a worthwhile American...
Certainly more than $80 now.
...golf memorabilia. Exactly. People are being mad at Ticketmaster. This is, of course, a tradition in the music world. The Taylor Swift fans are mad at Ticketmaster. They botched the U.S. Open tennis sale yesterday. It was supposed to open at 9 a.m. Eastern. Fans say by the time they logged in, all the tickets were listed as resale somehow, that they had all been flipped to being resold for higher prices within the first 30 seconds. I'm not surprised. Good. That's one of the great Simpsons lines. Smithers, you left when you said people wouldn't pay 700% ticket fees. Yeah, Mr. Burns owns Ticketmaster. That's the world we live in. If you want tickets, you got to go through them. We're stuck.
It's the way of life.
All right, final thing we promised you in today's show. Marjorie Harris is the wife of Josh Harris. He owns the Washington Commanders football team. They did, and this was pretty cool, they did a day of service yesterday, which I like because, so the way this works is in the off season, we're in OTAs. They're called optional team activities. They're not optional. If you want to be on the team, you participate in optional team activities, or you're Chase Young and you tell everybody what they can do with their optional team activities. But you get 10 of them, and traditionally the Commanders would take one of the 10 and use that to throw a charity golf tournament for their big money sponsors. So you essentially you can make all the players show for those 10 days optionally. But one of the days they took, they told everybody don't come to the field today. Come out to the golf course. We'll all be there. We'll do the charity golf tournament, shake hands with the sponsors, do all that. So this year they're not doing that. They went out and did a day of service in the community. I'm not a golf hater. I just think that's really cool that they took this thing that was like on the calendar and instead of just saying we're not doing the charity golf tournament, where they turned it into a day of service. So kudos to Josh Harris, Marjorie Harris, to the Commanders. So she did a little publicity around that, including appearing on the Grant and Danny radio program. And of course, because it's 2024 and because the name of the team is the Washington Commanders, she was asked, what do you think about the name of the Commanders? Here's what she had to say.
As you would imagine, everybody has an opinion about the name. Some good, some bad, some in the middle. And I think that we have a lot of work to do, and so that name issue is going to be on the side for now until we can get things going. And I mean, quite frankly, I had a whole day out in the community and I kept referring to the team as the Commanders, and you know what? Sounds pretty good to me. So for now, it's the Commanders.
For now, it's the Commanders. That's how we all feel, right? And this was partially driven by the Washington Post poll, where they talked to 1,600 people and found out that people don't like the name Commanders. I have not talked to 1,600 people, but I feel like I have enough of a sample size to know how y'all feel about the name Washington Commanders, which is the way I feel about the name Washington Commanders. I think it's the correct answer because I think they'll change it, but I don't think they'll change it soon. And so you're in this limbo, right? You can't say we're going to change the name in 4 years. Nobody likes to hear that. You can't say we're going to change the name and we're going to start a multi-year process of listening to people and ideas. The number one thing you can't do when you change a name again is do what Jason Wright and his team did, which is for a whole year pretend we're listening to you. What are your ideas? What name would you like? Send us a postcard with your submission. Make a website and a behind-the-scenes video of them all with very thoughtful expressions looking at all these submissions people had. Because I think there's three kinds of people here, right? There are the people who like Commanders. What, that's 4% according to the Washington Post poll? Good for you if you like Commanders. Sure, live your life. There's the people who will never be happy until it goes back to Redskins. They're in another pile. They can live their life. It's not going to happen. And then I think there's everybody else in the middle who's, let's just get a good name and get this on with and have something we can be proud of, because you know, you want to be proud of your team and wear the merch and root for the team. And so when they do the big, long, drawn out, everybody submit your ideas, and you look and you're like, oh, these are good ideas. And then they have the Commanders unveil. More people are going to be unhappy than happy, because you're going to not pick a lot of ideas instead of picking an idea, right? Anytime you have a vote, more people are going to be unhappy than happy, because they wanted, you know, name your name, and they didn't get it because what they got was, you know, what gets forced down their throat. Cleveland did it the best when they went from Indians to Guardians. You woke up one morning, there was a video, Tom Hanks narrated it, they just dropped it on everybody. Just kaboom. Yesterday, our name was the Indians. We didn't talk about it that much, but that was the name of our team. Today, name of our team's the Guardians. We consider the matter closed. That's how I want them to do it. I don't want the song, the dance, the long, we're engaged with our stakeholders to take this team to a new paradigm. No, you're a football team. Pick a good name. Let's go. Ride with it. But I was impressed. Marjorie Harris's interview with Grant and Danny, of course, is on the free Odyssey app. It was on our airwaves yesterday afternoon. She was sharp. I think they're doing great things. I mentioned when we were there for practice last week, they've closed off a big section of the facility in Ashburn. They're doing a lot of construction up there, and not cosmetic construction. They're building more space at the Ashburn facility. And so that's not a commitment to that site. In fact, everything you hear is they'll probably vacate that site in the next 5 to 10 years. So that impresses me. The new ownership is not saying, hey, you're going to get a new building in 5 years. Everybody hang tight. But new ownership is saying, how can we make these 5 years better and allow people to do the work they need to do going forward? That's important to the football team. That's important to the players. That's important to the front office people. I think those are the tangible signs of progress you want. And that doesn't mean the team will be good. You know, that doesn't mean they're going to win 10 games this year. It just means they're slowly building towards becoming competitive with what the other 31 teams across the league do. And that matters, too. I got one more segment. We'll spend it cross-talking with AWOD. Maybe dive into this Greenland soccer situation, unwind this a little bit. You never know what we'll talk about on this program. We'll take you up to noon. AWOD Radio takes over noon to 3. As mentioned, Grant and Danny drive you home. Flying Squirrels baseball tonight against Erie. Hated rival Erie Seawolves. First pitch, 6:35. You know where you'll hear it. This is 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM. pair of great guests today. Always love it when we have good guests on the show, bringing their expertise and wisdom and knowledge to you. You hear from me enough. You hear my voice enough. It's good to hear another voice from time to time. It's Chris Martin from the Tri-City Chili Peppers who's on at 10:30 talking Cosmic Baseball, which will be played Saturday. It's sold out, but they'll do it again later this summer down in Colonial Heights. That's worth venturing down to the Tri-Cities for. And then Lane Casadante from CBS 6 joining us as he does on Thursdays. If you missed any of it, you know what to do. Download the Odyssey app. It's free. It's got the rewind button. It's on the Apple Store and at Google Play. You can also use it to listen to AWOD Radio, which starts at noon, runs until 3. Grant and Danny drive you home. We'll play Grant and Danny's interview with Marjorie Harris momentarily about the Commander's name, but I want to dive into the NBA because it's a big game 5 tonight. Mavericks and the Timberwolves in Minneapolis. Ant Edwards has promised to return to Dallas for a game 6. Promised Micah Parsons. So, you know, promises were made. Timberwolves will be 4.5-point favorites. But as I think the perceived inevitability of the Mavericks making the finals becomes a reality, we're getting more Kyrie talk. Kyrie Irving, who has lived a lot of NBA lives, been a part of a lot of commercials, been canceled from a lot of commercials. He's done it all. And I think it's shaping up as Kyrie Irving redemption storyline this spring into the summer here in the NBA Finals. So here's Charles Barkley on Inside the NBA on TNT. Charles is one of the people who's been critical of Kyrie Irving in the past.
He self-inflicted himself. He got to take some responsibility. I think he's grown up. I think he's matured. Stephen A. and other people criticized him, and he rightly deserved it. You can't go out there being anti-Semitic, and, you know, you can do the vaccine thing. That's your own thing. But he deserved the criticism he got. He deserved the suspension he got. But as a basketball player, I think he's really grown up. I thought after game one, that was a grown man in full flight. I'd never seen him that happy. We all made mistakes. I've done plenty of stupid things. But at some point, you have to grow up. And I think he's grown up.
And to Charles's point, because I come on here, I love Charles Barkley. You know I love Charles Barkley. He has done a lot of stupid things. That is correct. Kyrie Irving has also done a lot of stupid things. 32 years old. And look, he's been at the center of a lot of different things. The one that's always going to come to the top is the, are you anti-Semitic? Which he didn't answer with no, by the way. That's an easy one. That's a softball question. Are you anti-Semitic? No is the correct answer to that question, by the way. He had posted a controversial video on Twitter and then proceeded to defend it. No is the answer anytime you're walking down that line of questioning. Wrote, Charles mentioned the vaccine thing, right? And he was critical of the vaccine, said he wouldn't play if the league mandated the vaccine, refused to get the vaccine. And, you know, I am a free speech absolutist. I generally believe you should be allowed to say your opinion within reason, obviously, not violent speech, of course, or things like that. But, you know, people, athletes come out and, you know, the Black Lives Matter, right? I took some heat during Black Lives Matter because they're allowed to say whatever they want to say. Because just being an athlete doesn't forfeit your right or ability to have an opinion. But just because you're an athlete doesn't mean your opinion has validity or has credence, right? And this goes by, I said this about Harrison Butker too, because that's probably as close as we get to the other side. I don't think Harrison Butker should be cut or fired. I think he should be allowed to say whatever's on his mind within reason, as long as it's not violent. You, the fan, you, the customer, don't have to listen and don't have to like it. That's not part of free speech. Free speech doesn't mean you have to like it, like, or agree with it, or patronize the businesses he sponsors. That's not part of free speech at all. And just, if a guy's a knucklehead, you can say he's a knucklehead and you don't agree with him. But I think generally, I don't like the, what was it, the shut up and dribble, right? Shut up and dribble, LeBron. Like, you can't, sure, you can have opinions. You've got a platform, you can have opinions. We, the customers, the consumers, have to understand your opinions don't become more valid or smarter because you're an athlete. You can have smart opinions as an athlete and dumb opinions as an athlete. And Kyrie had a lot of dumb opinions for a very long time, in my opinion, which I'm allowed to say within my free speech. It doesn't mean I think Kyrie shouldn't be allowed to play basketball. I think he should be allowed to play basketball. I'm lukewarm to cold on this, like, hey, the Mavericks are in the finals now. Isn't it cool how Kyrie redeemed himself? Because he's always been a good basketball player. He's never not been a good basketball player through the whole thing. He's a great basketball player. He, to me, exemplifies, and James Harden's probably the true poster boy of this, the I'm tired here, trade me to a new team, I'm going to be difficult until I end up on a new team. Which, you know, look, I don't begrudge any, you hear me say it all the time. I think the college kids asking for money, the NIL, is perfectly reasonable. I think kids who take advantage of their ability to transfer, that's fine. I think there should be safeguards in place to protect that. I think in the NBA, it got out of control for a little while with not just players asking for trades, but players sandbagging until they got those trades. That's where it crossed the line to me. And that's not fair to saddle Kyrie with all of that, but that was an era of the NBA that he was very much a part of. Here's Stephen A. Smith, who was very critical of Kyrie, and he is part of the redemption train as well, said he has called Kyrie and apologized to him.
I stand on what I stand on. I feel the way that I feel because I pride myself in being man enough to acknowledge when I'm wrong if I think I'm wrong, because I think it's rare. But I was wrong. And for Kenny Smith to tell me that, it hit home in a big way, because we go back more than 30 years and I can count on two fingers how many times he's thought I was wrong. And so his friendship, his brotherhood means a lot to me, but it also reminded me of the brotherhood of all of those that mentored and have been there for Kyrie. And it reminded me of somebody like my colleague at ESPN, Jay Williams. I love Jay, but we definitely don't see eye to eye on a few things, but damn it, when he's right, he's right. And he was right. I didn't think he was right at the time. But when you reflect sometimes and you see things for what they are, you got to man up and accept it.
Jason Williams, Kenny Smith, he drops a lot of names along the way. People who told Stephen A. Smith that he needs to make good with Kyrie because he needs to support black ball players in the community, and he needs to understand where Kyrie's coming from. And he has had that conversation with Kyrie. And I have no issues whatsoever with Kyrie winning a championship. He's a great basketball player. He's fun to watch. He's going to be part of the league for a long time. You're going to end up playing for a lot of different teams, I think, by the end of that run. He's a great player, though. I just feel like we're glossing over what happened a little too quickly here, right? There's a little too much like, yeah, he said some things, but he means well and he's a good guy. Like, I'm good with the ball player. I got no problems with Kyrie the ball player. He's great at what he does. He's absolutely going to earn his spot among NBA legends by the time he's done. I don't love it, like, because he's playing well, because they're in the headed towards the title series, one win from the title series. We'll be talking about that in future days, obviously, especially if the Timberwolves win tonight. That'll be a hot game six. Just because he's there doesn't mean we have to do the redemption storyline. You can still enjoy him, though. Still enjoy this product. You can still enjoy Harrison Butker kicking the ball really far through the goalposts if you want. That's something you want to do, you're allowed to do that. But I think we're moving on a little too quickly here in the Kyrie. I'm just not ready for the Kyrie redemption storyline. I'm all in on Luka Doncic, though. He's fun. I think he's a great player, a ton of fun. And I love watching him play, the touch he's got with his size. I got no problem with the Mavs. I love the Timberwolves, too. Anthony Edwards obviously represents the future of the NBA, and rightfully so. Both great player and the talk to back it up. I'm sure the TV ratings will be down whenever they come out, whenever that is. Oh, the Knicks weren't in it, the TV ratings, or LeBron wasn't in it, the TV ratings are down. Ignore that when you hear that. The game's healthy. The stars are good. The action's good. Just enjoy it. Everything else will take care of itself because the stars will get made, and then you'll want to see them down the line. We got two segments to go. We got to talk about the Commander's name because we got to talk about the Commander's name. It's what we do. I'm not even mad about it. I'm mad about the name still. It's a terrible name. But we had a little news on Grant and Danny yesterday. We'll play that for you. And Scotty Scheffler, we'll wrap that up as well. Promise we'd talk about that. We'll do that. We'll tidy it all up. We'll crosstalk with AWOD. You're listening to MP on the Mic, 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200-plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.